It is a night of strange supernatural stories and high strangeness from you, the listeners and viewers all around the world, sending in your stories to the mailbag of the macabre. Tonight, we go deep, reading your story, sharing thoughts, insights, and more, plus a brand new Upon Further Review and Paratunes. That's next, right here on the very best in Paranormal Talk Radio. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is my Paranormal 60.
I'm not going to stand here and listen to this baloney.
He won't float. He doesn't stand for baloney.
Sounds like a lot of supernatural baloney to me.
Supernatural, perhaps. Baloney, perhaps not.
Good evening, my little darklings. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Dave Schrader, your host into the strange and unusual world around us. I want to welcome our buddies from the Conant Paranormal Club. Conant High School in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, has begun a paranormal club. I was a guest speaker on them recently in Zoom. They are an amazing group of young individuals fascinated with the strange and the supernatural. And welcome to the fold. You are now official darklings, my little Conant friends. Let's get moving. Hey, some cool news. You know how something becomes such an immediate part of our landscape, whether it's the pet rock, the Cabbage Patch Kid, the Rubik's Cube, Tickle Me Elmo, or the Stanley Cup. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Not the NHL Hockey Cup. No, that's fallen by the wayside. That is so boomer of you to think that. Boomer of you, what am I saying? Stanley Cups, those are the metallic cups with the straws that are delicious to drink from and are selling for insane amounts of money. Well, my friends, we've got the Paranormal 60 mug cup, identical to the Stanley Cup, identical to the Stanley Cup in almost every way, except for it says the Paranormal 60 on it. And if you'd like it, it's brand new and it's in our swag shop. Go paranormal60swagshop.com. That's paranormal60swagshop.com and get your big dumb cup because it's delightful. Keeps my drinks cold and my heart colder. So here we are on a Monday night. No guest. It's just you and me all alone in an intimate little affair I like to call mailbag. Let's dig into the mailbag of the macabre and come up with some stories, some insights and questions to share. And then we've got some things that I need to share with you as well, like a brand new Upon Further Review, a series that I don't know if you've heard about, but if you haven't, you're missing it. We'll talk about that in a little bit. First off, we've got a letter about pet spirits. Hi, Dave. Last week, you read some experiences with spirits of pets, or was it the week before? I don't know anymore. So I thought I probably should share the encounters I have for 2 years now. 2 years ago, I had to let go of my cat. She was my family and my only reason for... I have to apologize as I'm reading this. I don't know if you heard that very disturbing, weird noise. My dog, Hans, the Wunderkind, just decided to sidle up next to me and begin licking himself. I guess he was really enjoying this ghostly paranormal pet story. So now that he seems distracted by something shiny, hopefully I get through this without the disgusting noises of a dog slurping itself. Here we go. 2 years ago, I had to let go of my cat. She was my family and the only reason that kept me sane at the time. Her death put me into a deep depression from which I still recover from. My cat and I had moved into another part of Germany not long before she passed, and I still feel guilty because the move up here was hard for both of us. Anyway, I'm not writing this because to tell you about my mental state, but maybe that has something to do with this whole situation. I don't know. I went to the hospital to get help with my depression and had to stay there for 4 months. When I was a bit more stable, my therapist put me through a regression. Go ahead and have a drink, folks. I don't think there is a therapist. But if there is, I'd like to sign up for one now. When I was a bit more stable, my therapist put me through a regression. Since that session, there isn't something different. That night, when I went to bed and I was nearly asleep, I felt paws wandering onto the blanket and a little body lying down on the bed, exactly how my cat always did. I heard her purr and fell asleep, not thinking about the fact she was dead, but she was with me. In the morning, I felt how she got up and jumped from the bed, and then I finally realized that she wasn't here anymore, and that I was still in the hospital. Since then, when I'm really down and I have dark feelings that take over me, or I'm worrying about something and I go to bed, I feel the little paws on the blanket, the body lying next to me. Sometimes I hear the purr, sometimes not. Now, this week, something else happened. I never felt the paws or the body, but when I woke up, I felt her and more. Before I got her, I had another cat who loved to sleep above my head. And that morning, I felt him too. I heard two purrs and then the movement and heard how they both jumped from the bed to the ground. I have experiences with spirits all over my life, but it's really rare to experience animal spirits. I don't know if the regression triggered my cat to come back or if it was just wishful thinking. I like to think that she looks after me because we both have this deep bond. As crazy as it sounds, she was kind of a soulmate to me, especially after the move. Sorry for the bad spelling. I am not a native. As I've said before, I'm from Germany. I wrote twice before. Thank you for reading this. And that comes from Ramona. Ramona, you did fine. I probably didn't do you any service being distracted by my dog and the hijinks going on here. So here's a couple of things that I find fascinating about the story. You know how cats and dogs reportedly can see ghosts? And if time is not linear and we are buying into the time slip phenomena, the casual idea that maybe time is happening simultaneously, and once in a while we get to see through that little portal and something from different time era just happens to be in that visual perspective and allows us to see that moment. I wonder if sometimes the reason our dogs and cats stop and look at something and have that quizzical look as opposed to something like being protective, I wonder if they're seeing themselves. If they might be witnessing a moment in time where they are facing a doppelganger version, briefly as it may be, it often makes me wonder, are they prone to seeing different timelines as well, multiverses, the alternate or possible realities that exist around us? Something to consider. Pets are an amazing, amazing thing, aren't they? I feel weird even calling them pets because they transcend being a pet, right? Cats and dogs, birds and rabbits, and even skunks in some instances are our soulmates. They are meant to be here with us. And I believe that we are meant to be here for them, that we are simpatico relationships. And I know there are many of you animal purists out there saying, no, Dave, animals should be allowed to live free and happy. I don't think my dog wants to live free and happy. He loves laying on the couch and licking himself during my show. And I don't think he can do that anywhere else in the world, but right here on my couch next to me. As a matter of fact, when I hold open the door, he'll run out and then turn around and stop and look at me like, oh God, I ran out. And he'll run back in because he knows this is where he belongs. And it's funny, I'm not a cat guy. For a guy that has five cats, I'm not a cat guy. But I do have two special cats in my life. Mr. Mittens, my buddy, he's amazing. And he is something different, man. He is one of those creatures that came into my life when I didn't know I needed it. And the love that he brought with him, the attention that he brings, is really amazing. Because I noticed it right off. When I would be in places of, I don't know, let's call it shadow thinking, dark thinking, bad thoughts, not horrific, but I just like in bad places, depression wise or anxiety, he would seem to know, and he would climb up and force himself on me to pet him or to nuzzle me. It was like, you need an overwhelming amount of love right now, and I'm going to be here and I'm going to give it and you're going to give it back. And he insisted on it. And it always pulls me out of that weird place. And it's fascinating, right? That he's not trained to be an emotional support cat. As a matter of fact, I think he's more trained to be a ninja assassin because when he's not showing me love and affection and caring, he's probably trying to kill me. He does like to dart between my legs as I go down the stairs, unless he's darting through the legs to get down there in case I fall so he can catch me, which may be his thinking as well. He's not a bright cat, but he's sweet. But it is interesting, this relationship that we have with animals. And I believe, why wouldn't they hang around after they die? If they feel a place of love and support and respect, why wouldn't they? You know, I know so many people, myself included, that have had experiences with spirit animals, and it's really powerful, you know. And I've told a couple of my favorite stories over the years on the show discussing them, but I don't doubt or hesitate for a second that the spirits of our fur friends and our fur babies are often with us and keeping us company, even in these moments when we're alone and places you might not expect, like being in the hospital. Your cat still knows that it was needed and it showed up for you. So very cool. Thank you for sharing that story. And if you guys have stories about your pets and, you know, after their passing or ghostly animal visitations, please let me know. Dave@paranormal60.com. Dave@paranormal60.com. I love to chat about these kind of things, share these and go in. Here's a quick little email. It says, "Hi, Dave and the Paranormal 60 News crew. I hope this email finds you well. I want to share my life's extraordinary journey with you. Starting from a crashed aircraft in 1968 when I was just 5 years old, a small debris field near my home that was quickly covered up. In the summer of 1970, a local weather report spoke of heat lightning, a storm with no rain. I witnessed this phenomena from a neighbor's rooftop, the lightning localized to the ground, not the sky. 2 weeks later, at 6 p.m., my mother asked me to fetch my sisters for dinner. Walking up my dead-end street, I found them staring at a glowing saucer with a tripod adorned with red, yellow, and green flashing lights. 2 hours of missing time followed as darkness enveloped me, pushing me home to find my family watching Carol Burnett at 8:05 p.m. The next day brought a bad bout of chickenpox, leading to homeschooling for second grade. Cleared up and into the third grade, a new vice principal identified something special in me. This led to participation in an after-school program where mysterious men in black suits introduced me to a device resembling an eye examination test. Months later, my mentor Gary hinted at a PBS feature, and my mother signed papers for my involvement. A year passed, and I transformed from a skinny kid into a heavier one. Playing football with friends showcased my newfound ability to control my density. Despite this, bullying persisted, and at 16, I decided to leave school. Between ages 13 to 22, I worked at a sanitation department before joining Westinghouse Defense. Nights brought diagrams revealing how people could be viewed through television sets. Jobs changed, leading me to become a modular furniture installation expert. And in an alternate universe, I envisioned a career as a professional wrestler. But in reality, a drug overdose led me to a near-death experience. Later, a heroin cocaine addiction and a massive stroke marked significant challenges. During my hospital stay, a spiritual rebirth occurred. Genetic memory surfaced, mirroring ancient times. UFO experiences, empathetic abilities, and cannabis use followed, prompting me to document my journey on the YouTube channel Cosmic Joe Chronicles. Before my stroke, I encountered 3 Nouveau tech books in government and CEO offices. Post-stroke, I received letters urging me to buy them. These books delve into human nature, mystic-minded versus cosmic-minded consciousness, and being one's own authority. Thus, I am Cosmic Joe, part mystic, part cosmic, torn between dimensions. I face decisions, conform to the neo-think society for prosperity, or remain true to myself. As a poet, I plan to overcome roadblocks and share my stories through my neo-think manuscripts. With better income, I hope to support you through super chats. Well, thank you very much, Joe. I appreciate that. I encourage you to take a moment to skim my videos on Cosmic Joe Chronicles and discover the lessons I've learned. Sincerely yours, Joseph White, a.k.a. Cosmic Joe Chronicles on YouTube. And Cosmic Joe is often part of our live audience here in our chat, and I hope if you're here tonight, I can't vacillate back and forth between them as I'm doing all the reading, but Joe, thank you very much for opening up and sharing with me and allowing that in. You know, you bring up an interesting element about being bullied. And it seems the more people I talk to, the more people that are really heavily into the paranormal, like myself and you, Cosmic Joe, all dealt with a form of bullying, whether it be home or school or maybe a mixture of both. I'm just wondering how many people out there that are so drawn to this field do so because we're truly looking for a purpose. We're trying to make sense of this chaotic universe around us because of abuse that we've suffered. Abuse we've suffered at the hands of others and perhaps the abuse we've suffered at our own hands and thoughts, right? The way that we drag ourselves down and make ourselves feel. So it's interesting. I'm curious if many of you out there feel this, or am I humanizing it too much to myself? If you have like a deep, deep passion for the paranormal, read and watch everything, listen everything you can find on it, write to me and tell me a little bit about your background. I won't read it on the air unless you ask me to or there's a story involved, but do that, please. Dave@paranormal60.com, because I'd love to hear your input and insights on this. Because I sit back and I watch a lot and think a lot about the past and the places I've been and the things I've experienced, the bullying, which happened as a child. And I like to and have thought for many years, well, at least it was stopped. I put a stop to it, but it never really stopped. I continued being bullied. I continue to be bullied by some people in our field, in the paranormal field, that have gone out of their way to do things to try to destroy me, destroy my career, destroy my life and my livelihood, all because they don't want to share a playing field. They don't want to make this a place of unity and exchange of information. I've always said I won't go dirty and start talking about people and sharing who specifically has done things. But I think it's important to note that, you know, sometimes we think we got away from that. And when you look back and I look at the things that have gone on, I can see how bullying has continued and how I've allowed it to continue in many ways. Sometimes, unfortunately, we're in that position where we have to allow it to happen in order to continue with the life that we're trying to lead and trying to get down that path. And if it means you just take a little bit more pushing and bruising, hopefully at the end of that, when you've walked past it and gotten through that, things will be a little bit brighter and sunnier for you. And that's my hopes. And I've seen a lot of these people throughout my 16 to 18 very intensive years in this field do their best to try to break me and break many others. And the one thing I've always tried to do is keep my head down, my shoulders forward, and just keep doing the job I love to do, believing that truth always wins and prevails, and that people that are like that will eventually be seen for who they truly are. I would love karma to work a little faster than it normally does, as many of you do, and that often makes me worried. As a matter of fact, if I'm worried and wanting karma to kick somebody's ass, is that bad karma for wanting karma to kick somebody's ass? That's a dilemma for another day. But the bullying factor is something that fascinates me, and I'm curious how you guys fit in on that too. Dave@paranormal60.com. Let me know if I'm crazy or if you think there is something to this. And if so, what are your beliefs on this? And you can always, for those of you watching the video on YouTube, you can always leave a comment down below. I do read all of the comments and try to acknowledge them to the best of my ability when I can, or there's something specifically asked of me. So please feel free to include those comments either during the show or after the show. For those of you listening to the audio version only, just reach out when you get a free time and email me, dave@paranormal60.com. Our next email. Hey there. I hope this message finds you well. My name is Kevin Hardy, and I wanted to share an eerie experience that unfolded in my home back in early March of 2012. In the dead of night, around 1 o'clock, I was jolted awake by my sons, Corey, age 10, and Lucas, 4, both screaming for help. The tale they unfolded was beyond comprehension. They spoke of a blue light that exploded into brightness, leaving them temporarily blinded and disoriented. Corey, with his eyes wide open, narrated an otherworldly encounter with a small disc-like craft gliding through our neighborhood. Initially skeptical, I dismissed their account, chalking it up to children's imagination. However, weeks later, strange occurrences continued. Late one night, my wife and I heard movements outside Corey's bedroom. As we opened the doors, we sensed someone's presence, but the room appeared empty. Armed with our iPods, we snapped pictures only to witness on the screens what seemed like a skinny child crouched on the floor, vanishing into thin air when we looked directly at the spot. Curiosity got the better of us, and we recorded audio and video. What we discovered on the playback was nothing short of chilling. Shadowy figures, a strange clicking sound, and an audible phrase, "We cannot let them know." A figure with a large head and crab-like claws was captured, eerily mirroring descriptions from abduction cases we stumbled upon in our subsequent research. Our lives took a turn after this incident. We moved twice, installed night vision cameras, and felt the need to huddle together when the unease crept in. Despite the relocation, the memory of that night lingered, casting a shadow over our sense of security. Adding another layer to this mystery, a few nights later, we spotted a boomerang-shaped object with orange glowing lights passing overhead. We had MUFON review our audio and received a clip where a voice says, "There is no life light. We cannot let them know." Recently, I came across a podcast discussing when human souls enter babies. It made me reflect on the strange detail that the blue light's perfect circle aligned with the exact spot where my pregnant wife slept on the other side of the wall. I'm reaching out, not with answers, but with a hope that someone out there might shed light on this enigma. Your insights or suggestions would be greatly appreciated. Thanks for taking your time to read my story. Best regards, and that comes from Kevin Hardy. I don't even know where to begin with that, Kevin. It certainly sounds like you're having visitations, certainly. I can't attest from this if it's an abduction scenario or not. Are there missing time? Are you finding injuries on either one of your bodies that don't correspond with something you know about? So those are some other elements you'd want to check into. But keep in touch with your local MUFON, and there are many different experiencers out there and people that are happy to weigh in on this that might have some more insight. But you're right, it is a chilling story. And thank you so much for sharing that with us here tonight. Hi there, it's Danielle Murphy, and I've got an experience from a ghost hunt in Gettysburg that I think you'd find fascinating, Dave. Picture this. A moonlit night at the peach orchard. My former husband, daughter, his nephew, my best friend, and their kids, all of us geared up for some ghost hunting. As we traversed the historic grounds, a Confederate soldier emerged, looking around 16 to 18 years old. Initially, dismissing him as a reenactor, we pulled up beside him. And that's when things got eerie. The soldier peered directly into our car, his face unnaturally pale, offering a chilling smile. In a heartbeat, he sprinted toward the wheat field behind a nearby house, moving at a pace beyond human capability. Determined to unravel the mystery, we reached the unexpected exit point, only to find there was no one there. Enter the park police, flashlights in hand. We shared our perplexing encounter. They promised an investigation, but returned with no findings, attributing it to one of those ghostly happenings. Spooked, we heeded their advice and retreated to our motel. Having met Mark Nesbitt at a book signing, I joined his ghost tour where the guide suggested we might have witnessed a full-body apparition. Gettysburg, with its historical weight, has been a hotspot for my paranormal adventures, including intriguing incidents at Jenny Wade's home. Much appreciated for your time, and I completely understand if this isn't your cup of tea. Best, Danielle Murphy. Oh, Danielle, this is a perfectly blended cup of my tea. So thank you very much for sharing this for me. I've been to Gettysburg on numerous occasions. I've had strange experiences, and my dog is sitting here scratching his ear. So if you're hearing the, that is the noise that you're hearing, my audio friends. Hans, go somewhere else, you freak show. All right. Gettysburg, crazy activity, lots of strange stories. You know, unfortunately, not a lot of survivors from Gettysburg battles, but it would be amazing if we could find some of the original journals that they kept, because there are so many stories of these beings in the correct attire that are there, seem to turn to you and acknowledge you before charging off into unseen battles. And wouldn't it be interesting if these soldiers in a heightened sense of awareness and kind of out of their mind in that psychological neuro net, because they're in that place like Schrodinger's cat. They're not dead, but they're not really alive either, because they are in war. And at any time, either one of those things could become a very big reality. So wouldn't it be interesting and fascinating to find out that maybe some of these soldiers that have been reported from our era, our time, also reported at their time of seeing strange people on the battlefield, people in Bermuda shorts and black socks and Birkenstocks that don't seem to really fit in battle mode. What are your thoughts on this? Dave at paranormal60.com. Let me know. All right, listen, this weekend I had an opportunity to sit down, catch up on some TV. And I am a huge Doctor Who fan. I'm a Whovian, as many of you know, Vian. And there was a new series that I saw that I hadn't taken notice of before. But Peter Capaldi, who played one of the doctors on Doctor Who, was the star of this. And it was a true gritty crime kind of looking show. And I thought, oh, okay. All right, well, let's give this a try. It'll be cool to see him outside of the realm of Doctor Who portraying a character. And I popped on this series. It's a mini series, 6 episodes long. I was blown away. Let's take a look, because now it's time for...
It's time now for Upon Further Review.
The series I'm talking about is a series called The Devil's Hour, and it's on Amazon Prime. Let's take a look at that together.
Have you ever been in this room before?
No.
You feel like you have?
Why would I?
I know you feel out of place, like your life isn't your own.
You don't know me.
This is all of the evidence seized last Thursday night. We believe this is the man that murdered Harold Slade and Shane Fisher.
You knew one of his victims. If there's a link, we'll find it.
Tell me, what am I missing?
There's no pattern, it's just chaos.
You can prove it to yourself, Lucy. Think.
Harold Slade, I know that name means something to me.
Remember!
That was shit before.
Why don't you start at the beginning? You seem to have a distorted relationship with time.
My perception of time is better than anyone's.
He's playing a game with us.
So play back.
Lucy, this guy's the serial killer.
I need this to end.
It's all connected. Your dreams, your memories. Everything that happens. Everything that doesn't. Everything that will.
And in this delusion of yours, are you a time traveler or a fortune teller?
Neither. I'm both.
So holy Christmas, what a series this is. The Devil's Hour. Now, first of all, if you're a fan of Doctor Who and you see Peter Capaldi in this setting, this comes off as though Doctor Who has turned into a serial killer. The lines that he's given, the things that he says, the stoic nature of his gaze, it's a weird crime drama with all kinds of bizarre, twisty, turny points. 4 episodes into the 6 episodes, I wasn't sure what I'm watching. And that's not a bad thing. It's not one of those, oh my God, what am I watching? What the hell is this? It wasn't one of those. It was, I had to watch the next episode, the next episode, the next episode, because they tell this story in such an interesting arc and things are constantly changing like tumblers in a lock. And you don't know exactly what time, era, or place these things are taking place, but you're watching the story slowly fall into place. It is such a great series. Honestly, on a scale of 1 to 5 phantoms, 1 it sucks, 5 it's amazing. I'm going to put this at a serious 4 3/4 phantoms, because I was a little disappointed at the end. He didn't reach in and pull out the sonic screwdriver and fix everything that had gone wrong, because it did feel like a rogue, very dark Doctor Who special and series. But don't let that hold you off if you're not a Doctor Who fan, because it's not Doctor Who. It is totally twisted, totally great and totally original. So if you get a chance, watch The Devil's Hour. It comes with one of my absolute highest recommendations. Speaking of recommendations, I recommend we get back to more of your stories, and we'll do that, but we'll do that right after this. My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity that you get. That, wow, how have I been living like this feeling? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for just $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. Wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. The quality that I've received from Mint Mobile is second to none, and I've tried them all. And this is an amazing company to work with that actually cares about their clients and the prices that they charge. So if you're on that fence wondering, should I make the shift? You're going to get great coverage, you're going to get great customer service, and all of the bells and whistles you expect from the bigger brand names. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans and their jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/P60. That's mintmobile.com/P60. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/P60. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to just $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Okay, my little darklings, I know, just by looking at me, you think that guy does not work out. Well, you'd be right. And aside from just looking at me and knowing I don't work out, I was quickly reminded of the fact that I don't work out because I've got subscriptions to not one, not two, but 3 different apps to help me maintain my weight and get in shape and feel better. 3 apps that I worked diligently when I first signed up for them for about a week and then forgot all about them. But thankfully, Rocket Money didn't forget about them. I'd forgotten all about 3, not one, not two, but 3 different subscriptions to 3 different organizations. And here I am, still dumb, still fat, and losing money every month without even paying attention to it. I think some of you out there might understand the predicament I'm in, and that's why you need to get Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending, and it helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over all of my subscriptions and a clear view of exactly where my money is going. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved now a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/P60. That's rocketmoney.com/P60. rocketmoney.com/P60.
In winter's grasp, a chilling tale unfolds. Wanted Magazine's issue 40, Secrets to be Told. Al Capone's ghost, in shadows it creeps. A spectral mobster, where darkness seeps. 14 signs of a poltergeist's might. Haunting whispers in the silent night. Pascagoula UFO, 50 years gone by. A cosmic encounter, reaching the sky. The ghost train of Tate Bridge, echoes in the mist. A phantom journey, where souls exist. Wanted Magazine issue 40 is out now available from selected outlets and bit.ly/hauntedmagazine. Don't be normal, be paranormal.
Oh, my little darklings, Theater of the Mind, Tales from the Darkness is out and it's available right now. And I would love for you to pick up a copy of my brand new book. You can get it on Amazon, wherever you live in this great, big, wonderful world of ours. Or if you'd like to get an autographed copy and you live here in the United States, go to paranormal60.com. We have the standard copy, non-autographed, just $20. Signed copy, only $30. And not only do we have this book, but we have my other book, The Other Side. And right now I'm running a special. If you pick up both books, you can get both books for $40, both signed. Both will be shipped in one package for one price. So go check out all the information at paranormal60.com. The Other Side, A Teen's Guide to Ghost Hunting and the Paranormal, which is a guide on ghost hunting and the paranormal. Or you can get Theater of the Mind, Tales from the Darkness, Real Life Encounters with the Supernatural. And not only are they some of my all-time favorite stories from you, but there's a few of my favorite stories that have happened to me in the book as well. So go check it out, paranormal60.com, to order your copies. Or you can buy copies wherever you are in the world that are unsigned at amazon.com. And I'll ask you this. Many of you have supported me in buying this book already. If you could just take 30 seconds to rate and review this book on Goodreads or on amazon.com, I would greatly appreciate it. Because the more we get of good ratings and reviews, the more they expose this book to a wider, bigger audience. So I would appreciate that as a personal favor to me, your pal, Dave Schrader. All right, let's get back into it. In a little bit, we've got a brand new Parashare from Bart L. and the Falkies. And I really like it. I think you guys might dig it. The video is so cool. During the video, I'm going to remind you again, and when we go to watch it, watch the woman center screen throughout the video. Very cool effect. However Bart did this, I don't know, but it's well done and well conceived. All right, we've got one here. This is a bit of a longer tale, so let us begin, shall we? Here on this very special edition. It's like an after-school special on this edition. Dave finds cocaine. I don't find cocaine. Dear Dave, I'm writing to get your thoughts on a quite profound experience I had back in 2015. In November, 3 years ago, you did an episode of your old show, Darkness Radio, called Hillbilly Horror Stories. During that episode, around 52 minutes in, Tim told a story about his grandfather's experience when he was ill and not many days away from death. In that story, it was described that his grandfather was seeing a beautiful woman through the doorway of his bedroom whilst bedbound and dying from cancer at 90 years old. He described this woman as having dark raven-like hair, red ruby lips, and white alabaster-like skin. It was explained that Tim's grandfather told him that this woman spoke to him, telling him, "You'll see me really soon." He also mentioned the dog seemed to see this lady too, and the dog and his grandfather seemed to track the woman going through the wall and out of the house. It seemed, from the way the story was told, that this lady was visiting in a pre-death capacity. Tim explained that he figured it was his grandfather's first wife, Vivienne. I don't know who or what that lady is or represents exactly, but I can tell you that I've seen her myself. When the story started being relayed a fraction of a second ahead of when Tim described the woman, I thought, I wonder if she looks like what I saw. I was driving whilst listening when the description came. It went through a shiver down my spine. Now, when I saw this lady, I was not physically ill or near to death. Well, at least not that I'm aware of anyway. Instead, I was going through a period of depression and self-loathing in which I no longer wanted to exist. I would not necessarily describe myself as suicidal. I don't think that I wanted to take my own life, even whilst I was engaging in suicide ideation, but I was in a state of mind where if someone had told me that they were going to kill me, I wouldn't have fought it. I can best describe it as wanting to just not exist, to be erased from history, so that no one I'd ever been in contact with would have any memory of me. These feelings had come about due to the breakdown of my marriage, specifically because I found myself in a situation of being no longer in love with my wife, something that had been building for a couple of years and which I had chosen to live in denial of, and being in love with another woman. I'd gotten to this point where I had finally faced up to the reality of how I felt and had decided I had to talk to my wife and begin the process of ending our marriage, as for me, it had become unsalvageable. The reasons are many and complex, and I won't labor the issue here. Nevertheless, despite wanting to leave the marriage, the realization had sent me into a terrible depression, and I felt like I didn't know myself anymore. I never thought I could love another other than my wife, and the whole experience undermined everything I thought I understood about myself. That, coupled with the pain that this caused my wife, drove me to a dark place of just not wanting to exist anymore. I wasn't in a frame of mind where I could rationally look at the situation at large and recognize my own hurt that had led to where we were as well. I just flat out hated myself and felt that everyone would be better off, my wife, my parents, the woman I had fallen in love with, if I simply just ceased to exist. That way I would never have been able to complicate their lives. In the weeks that followed, I went to bed one night and found myself extremely agitated. I couldn't relax. I felt trapped. I felt in despair. I wanted to just disappear. As I lay in bed in the darkened room, curtains drawn, but with just a little diffused streetlight filtering through, I saw the wall opposite my bed open up. Through the wall, I saw what I can best describe as a nature scene. It was green. There were trees. It was like I was looking out a window onto a beautiful country vista. It startled me, and I jumped up out of bed. As I carried on staring, I saw a woman, long raven hair, alabaster skin. She wasn't quite close enough to be absolutely see her lips as bright ruby red, but leaning against one of the trees, she seemed to be about 50 feet or so away from me, maybe a little more. Either way, she was not standing right in front of me. As I looked at her, she spoke to me, but not in a way as if she were standing in a room speaking to me. Instead, she spoke directly into my head. She spoke only two words. Be calm. Those two simple words. Be calm. With those words, an incredible peace and tranquility came over me. I've never experienced feeling so relaxed and at peace. The wall closed up and the room pulsed twice with light. Not like somebody turning a bulb on and off. Rather, imagine a pulse of light that went from gray to black, pulsing out in a wave twice over, rather than something brightly illuminating. I stood there for a moment, waiting to see what would happen next. The room stayed dark, and I went back to bed, lay down, and next I knew it was morning. Like clicking your fingers, it was 7 hours later. So when I heard that story of Tim and his grandfather's visitation, I was stunned and excited that someone else had also seen this lady. However, it has left me with more questions than I had before. Was that death? You know, it's interesting because even just reading the story, you get that sense, right? I mean, obviously, we all think of the Grim Reaper, probably thanks to the interpretation of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol with the, you know, the ghost of Christmas is yet to come. That stark, creepy, reaper-like look with the cloak and the bony figure inside telling us of our fate. But I would tend to believe that death would come to us in a much more inviting and beautiful way, whether it's man, woman, or child, maybe even an animal. My mom saw animals, wild animals, and when I kind of snapped out of it. But I thought, I wonder if death is coming for her and things that she loves so much, and she loved animals. So maybe this woman does represent death, but not death itself. Maybe she's an usher into the afterlife. Boy, if you haven't seen the show Dead Like Me, folks, you should watch that show as well. Can't remember if it was HBO or Showtime, but what a clever little series. It was basically about this group. I think they're called Reapers. Their job is to extract us right before the moment of death so that we don't feel the pain, so that we don't go through that traumatic experience. And it's a dramedy. So it's a drama comedy. Mandy Patinkin was in it. It was a great ensemble cast. So if you have not seen Dead Like Me, check it out. A lot of fun, very weird series. And, but it does have that sense to it that maybe they were witnessing death. Maybe you were witnessing the one that will be there to meet you when your time comes. I'm not sure. For the last 9 years, I've thought of her as an angel or maybe a spirit guide. How many other people have seen the same woman, whether near death, like Tim's grandfather, or at a time of trauma, as I was experiencing it? Good question. All of you listeners around the world, if you've ever had an experience like that, email me, dave@paranormal60.com. Tell me your story. Describe the woman. If you can draw the woman. I would love to see what it is that you saw and who you saw. What did she look like? So please share those stories, dave@paranormal60.com. Did I see heaven through that wall? That was another question that's posed in this email. Like I said, when my mom was on her deathbed, literally, days left to live, and we were in there just keeping her company, she was laying there just kind of looking up at the ceiling, and I was holding her hand, and all of a sudden she went, "Oh, giraffe, look." And she was seeing something beautiful in animals. And I said, "What, mom?" And then she kind of, like I said, shook out of it. But what's really intriguing to me is Chris Fleming, my friend, dear friend, psychic medium, Chris, he came to visit my mom just before she passed. And when he came in the room, he took me aside and he goes, "Dude, why am I seeing like animals in this room, like giraffes and elephants and everything?" So I don't know. Maybe heaven is what we make of it, right? Maybe the beautiful freedom of the outdoors, instead of being in the dark closed room that you were in, was much more of an inviting space. So maybe it was a version of heaven. A couple years later, a work colleague told me about her father's experience of being near to death in a hospital. And whilst he was dying, describing to her a scene in very much the same manner as I've described to you, albeit without any mention of the lady with raven hair, alabaster skin, and ruby lips, he ultimately pulled through though. But what I was told that when he was back, he wept because he wanted to stay in that place that he had visited. I've wondered many times why I received that visitation. Was it an intervention to try and help me steer clear of taking my own life? Several other events happened around this time. Over about a month, I had other experiences of a spiritual nature that were life-changing, and I'm happy to tell you about them if you'd be interested. But I don't want to drag this letter out anymore. If it's meant to keep me from killing myself, is that because there is something I'm supposed to do? Or was that intervention and the experiences that followed just done out of pure love and compassion? Sure, all of it's out of pure love and compassion. I firmly believe the reason that my suicide attempt did not work was because something was trying to stop me. Something was there watching out for me. Is there a reason for us being here? Yes, and you may not know what it is, and you may never know what it is until the final day when you cross that bridge and you get a chance to reflect on your life. I've said what I believe heaven to be and what hell will be is hell is going to be us revisiting every moment of pain we've delivered to other people, whether we knew about it or not, because of our own selfishness and self-centeredness and ignorance. Doesn't mean that we did it out of evil, but maybe it's part of the soul's life journey to realize how everything we do affects and impacts other people. And I believe heaven on the other side is what we'll get to experience after hell. Heaven will be reminded of all the things that we did that made life good, that helped people in a time of need, that laugh that somebody needed that you just took for granted that day. So maybe heaven and hell are those experiences, and that will be what we'll face one day. Whatever it is, I hope that we're building more towards a heavenly afterlife than we are hellish. So that means take advantage and take care of the time that we have now. Be kind so that you are building a better place, right? Like going back to Charles Dickens in A Christmas Carol, Marley warned Ebenezer Scrooge, all of these chains are the chains I forged in life, this heavy weight that he had to drag with him now through the afterlife. I think those heavy weights are all of the bad things that we've done. So may you find at the end of your journey a very light weight and something that comforts you and allows you to see just how impactful your journey truly was, because it's much more powerful than you know. I'm lucky. I know this for a fact. I'm a lucky, lucky man because I am in the public eye. People feel the, I guess, relief that they can reach out to me and tell me, hey, you being open about this, or you sharing that story, or you allowing us to share our lives together in the paranormal has changed my life. And the stories and emails I've gotten, which are plentiful, have helped me. And I encourage you, don't just write to a random podcast host, write to somebody in your life that has had that impact, because they need to hear it. They need to know about it. And it doesn't even have to be very profound. You could just literally say, hey, Bob, I just want you to know that a few weeks ago when you got me laughing so hard, I was practically crying. I think I was doing both. I think my soul had found a way to purge. And that was all thanks to you, because you took a few minutes out of your day to make my day brighter. And I just want you to know that it couldn't have come at a better time. Your pal, Dave. Maybe just something simple like that to let people know that even the gentlest of things can make a difference. All right. Let's go. We got another great email here, and then we'll do a little song for you. How about that? Dave, I'm Matthew Hale. You know me from chat as Android Purity. Here's a story I wanted to share with you and your listeners. In the late summer of 2008, on an otherwise ordinary night, a peculiar series of events unfolded that left an indelible mark on my perception of reality. As the clock ticked past 3 a.m., I found myself immersed in the familiar routine of winding down for the night. Nestled on the couch in my living room, I was engrossed in the glow of the television, planning to retire to bed between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m., a habit necessitated by my evening work schedule. On this particular night, my routine took an unexpected turn when I decided to let my dog out onto the deck before heading to bed. Stepping outside, the serenity of the night was interrupted by an eerie sound emanating from the small patch of woods behind my house. The unmistakable crunch of leaves underfoot echoed through the darkness, signaling the presence of a sizable creature. My dog, attuned to the disruption, stood beside me, ears perked as we both strained to discern the source of the rhythmic footsteps. After approximately 4 or 5 steps, the enigmatic sound abruptly ceased. It was in the silence that I observed a faint, tiny light, no larger than a marble, materializing there in the woods, positioned just beyond the fence encircling my backyard. The light hovered a mere 2 to 4 feet above the ground. Alarmed, my dog sprinted to the opposite side of the deck, sensing an unusual tension in the air. I, too, felt an undercurrent of unease, initially attributing it to the possibility of an intruder wielding a bright LED flashlight, a common tool for mischief in our neighborhood. With trepidation, I continued to observe the inexplicable light, which defied the characteristics of any flashlight or lantern I had personally encountered. Rather than a simple illumination, the light started expanding, steadily growing in size. In a matter of seconds, it transformed from the dimensions of a marble to that of a basketball. The pure white brilliance of the light, accompanied by a subtle blue hue, bespoke an otherworldly quality that defied conventional explanation. As the light attained the size of a basketball, my dog, emboldened by territorial instincts, leaped off the deck stairs, ready to confront the perceived intruder. It was at this juncture that the extraordinary occurred. The radiant light, having captured our attention, flickered and sparkled before swiftly contracting into nothingness. This rapid disappearance, contrasting the deliberate expansion, occurred in less than 2 seconds, leaving both my dog and me perplexed in the ensuing darkness. Anticipating the need to intervene if the supposed intruder posed a threat to my dog, I had refrained from calling out, allowing her to approach stealthily. However, my dog, now standing on her hind legs with front paws on the fence, displayed an uncharacteristic lack of reaction. No barks, no growls, only a bewildered gaze into the previously illuminated space. In a bid to dispel my concerns, I triggered the motion sensor floodlights, illuminating the area where the light had been. And to my astonishment, there was nothing there except my dog, still standing on her hind legs, scanning the surroundings. The realization struck me like a jolt. Whatever had manifested moments ago defied the logic of a person wielding a flashlight. Left grappling with inexplicable ideas, I stood on the deck trying to reconcile the experience with the bounds of rationality. It was a moment that lingered, an encounter that transcended the ordinary and hinted at the existence of phenomena beyond our understanding. Several months later, in the following spring, a local newspaper article further deepened the mystery. the lost grave of a Civil War lieutenant colonel named Ephraim Foster Anderson had been discovered less than 100 yards from my house. Anderson, who had built his own church in the woods after the Civil War, passed away in 1877. He was buried beside the church. The structure had long vanished, and his unmarked resting place had been lost in the records. The post-discovery ceremony saw the placement of a large granite stone as Anderson's grave marker, complete with an inscription honoring his memory. The revelation prompted a cascade of questions. Did the proximity of a Civil War lieutenant colonel burial to my home have any correlation with the inexplicable light I had witnessed months prior? Could there be more undiscovered graves concealed within the depths of these woods, echoing a history long forgotten? The intersection of the paranormal, historical, and extraterrestrial possibilities left me grappling with the profound implications of that summer night. Whether it was a spirit, an angelic being, an alien, or even a time traveler, the enigma persisted, leaving a lasting imprint on my perception of this universe. The questions lingered unanswered, a testament to the mysteries that lie just beyond the veil of our understanding. Thank you for sharing my story. Best, Matthew Hale. Well, thank you very much, Matthew Hill. Another astounding story. And guess what, kids?
It's time now for Paratunes. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, my good friend Bart L., who created the opening for our show, is one of the good buddies of mine out there in the paranormal field who has always helped out when it comes to cool technologies, created the countdown video you watch at the beginning of every episode and the opening themes for us. And he has created a new song and along with it a video. Watch the video closely, folks. Although it appears nothing is happening, continue to watch the young lady's face as this story unfolds. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a song called Space Alien by Bart and the Falkies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Another great paratune, and we have another coming up for you this Wednesday, and it is a doozy. It's a great one about Roswell, New Mexico, and the musician. I absolutely love her. She does amazing songs and video parodies and such on her Instagram and Facebook channels. And man, she's so talented, but she hyper intelligent. She does just, you guys will just be here Wednesday. Make sure you check it out. You're not going to want to miss it. Her song is awesome. All right. Tonight we are celebrating you, the listeners, the viewers of the show, by sharing your stories deep from within the mailbag of the macabre. I've dug deep and found many stories, and I've realized just how many stories I have to go through. So I apologize to many of you that I didn't get to these stories earlier, and that they've been kind of languishing in my mailbag of the macabre. But we will continue to work through them and share these stories on special episodes like this. Thank you to all the new viewers checking it out and visiting with us here on the home for the best in paranormal talk radio, the Paranormal 60. And remember, if you want to get your new big dumb cup, you can get it at Paranormal 60 Swag Shop. Let's get back to the emails, shall we? Hi, Dave. I hope this message finds you well. It's Brian Henry from Facebook. I thought I'd still reach out and share one of my eerie tales. Let me take you back about 20 years ago to a chilly Halloween night in Oregon. My friends and I, with no plans for the evening, decided to explore an old abandoned asylum about 45 minutes away from our place. Armed with flashlights, we approached the building with a sense of adventure. The asylum had a courtyard shaped like a square with one of its edges cut off, and a big leafless tree stood in the center, surrounded by dried, crunchy leaves covering the ground. Although the doors were locked, we noticed that all of the windows were broken. After some searching, we found a spot with a 10-foot drop to a lower level room. Someone had conveniently left a ladder. My friends decided to climb down while I volunteered to stay back, holding the ladder for their descent. As I stood in the moonlit courtyard, smoking and waiting for my friends, things started to take a very strange turn. I heard the familiar sounds of leaves crunching underfoot, as if someone or something was walking through them. I quickly turned on my flashlight, expecting to see a person, or perhaps maybe a curious raccoon. But there was nothing there. The sound ceased as soon as the light pierced the darkness. I turned off the flashlight and resumed my wait. After a few minutes, I heard the sound again, but this time it sounded more like deliberate footsteps, as if someone or something walking on two feet. Once again, I illuminated the courtyard with my flashlight, but there was no one in sight. As I turned off the light, the sound returned, accompanied by a chilling, stagnant coldness that enveloped me, far colder than the October night air and with no discernible source. When I turned the light back on, the cold dissipated and the sounds ceased. Shortly after, I heard my friends crawling back through the window, and I held the ladder steady for their climb. It was a spine-tingling experience, and despite my attempts to rationalize what had happened, there were no signs of animals or people in the courtyard. Thanks for sharing my story. Take care. All the best. And that comes from Brian. Well, thank you, Brian. Another great story. I appreciate that. Hello, Dave. I hope this message finds you well. I came across your Facebook page and noticed you're on the hunt for some creepy paranormal stories. Well, look no further. I've got a ton of them, and I'd love to join you for a chat about UFOs. I've seen quite a few. Bigfoot, cryptics, demonic possession, and more. Let me kick things off with my earliest paranormal memory. Back in the day, as a young one, I started seeing beyond the veil. One afternoon, while being babysat family friend's house, I was laid down for a nap in their son's room. Picture this. I really didn't want a nap, so I'm staring at the wall when from the floor a very dark shadow started forming. It begins to grow, rising from the wall, and it takes on a human shape. A beastly figure with two horns that started shimmying against the wall. Not your usual lullaby scenario, right? Instead of fear, I instinctively began reciting the only childhood prayer I knew. Now I lay me down to sleep. I had no idea about the Holy Trinity, but I knew Jesus from earlier encounters. Surprisingly, as I got to the word Lord in the prayer, the shadow got slammed to the floor and vanished. What took nearly 15 to 20 seconds to form disappeared in less than a second. Later that day, back home with Mom and my oldest sister, I shared my experience. Mom dismissed it as a dream, but I insisted on what I saw. My sister, familiar with her high school gossip, revealed that the son's room was rumored to dabble in dark arts and was considered a Satanist hangout. Long story short, Mom took my sister's concerns seriously, and I never got babysat by that family again. Since then, I've encountered hundreds of these black astral beings. In paranormal circles, we consider them bush league among lower dimensional entities. With the right training, they're surprisingly easy to handle. Looking forward to connecting and sharing more stories with you. Best, Mr. Devon Wendell. Jeez, Devon or Devon, that's terrifying. Good stories, though. Thank you very much for sharing that. All right, let's give you another one here. Hey, Dave, we've spoken on Facebook a few times, but not many, but we have not yet met in person. I have two stories to contribute. The first happened when I was a young, intrepid investigator in training about 19 years ago. My team and I investigated Jenny Wade's home at the Gettysburg Orphanage Soldiers Museum. Jenny Wade was quiet. The orphanage, however, was incredibly active. During an ETC session in the basement, I felt physically assaulted. A child's voice came through the hack shack Frank's box, threatening to play tricks on me. I should not have asked what tricks. I was so innocent and open spiritually, lacking knowledge of protections. The response to my question was a hard, powerful blow to the back of my neck and head. It made me lurch forward, grabbing my head in pain. I managed to stumble out to the street for out front. It took me some time before I'd go back in, but when I did go back, I manned the static cams. The second story would be those relating to my time working as an actor, photographer, docent at Pennhurst. This story involves a darker sort of entity, not a ghost, a shadow that I saw with my own eyes and pushed me onto the concrete as I tried to exit the building. This was the last time I ever set foot on Pennhurst grounds. The entity tied to the shadow caused me much harm, the worst of which was that it followed me into my dreams, nightmares in truth, terrible ones. I spiraled into a deep state of alcoholism in a poor attempt to sleep soundly. Ironically, it worked because when one is that drunk, they do not ever reach REM sleep and thus no dreaming. I no longer felt safe anywhere where I could access alcohol. The best decision of my life was after one blindingly disturbing night terror on a night when the booze wasn't quite cutting it, I woke up in a sweat and got sick all over my bed. I knew that this thing, this demon, was here to try to kill me. I felt it in my bones, either in my dreams or by my own doing in an attempt to free myself. I don't know how I got there. To this day, I can't tell you. I did not drive myself. I ended up in rehab, in detox, and I was there for 30 days. I have now been sober for 2 years and 4 months. I've done a lot of healing and have learned many things since my blackout days. The most important lesson I learned is that sometimes demons only have as much power as you give them. I never saw the shadow again, nor have I ever had a single nightmare. I can tell you more if you respond with interest. I hope that you have a good evening and rest well. Most sincerely, Melissa. Yeah, Melissa, great stories. Holy cow. Tell us more. Dave at paranormal60.com. Although, let me posit this. Maybe that day when you felt so disturbed and as though something was coming for you, something was. But it wasn't coming for you. It was coming for those demons attached to you or trying to attach to you. And the reason that you woke up in rehab, unsure of how you got there safely, was that an angel did intercede on your behalf and got you where you needed to be. And that overwhelming, fearful presence, that thing, you might have been picking up on the fear the demons felt knowing this thing was coming to get rid of them. Just a thought, just a thought. Well, folks, my friends, my sweet, sweet darkling army out there, thank you for tuning in and spending a little time with me here tonight. I love your stories. I love hearing your stories. And if you want to record your stories so that we can hear your voice telling those stories, feel free to do that and send the recordings to Dave at paranormal60.com or just take to your typewriter and start typing up. Typewriter. What is this, 1983? Go to your word processing thing, your computer, and type up that message, send it to me, and let me share it on an upcoming episode. We love your stories, and we love you for opening up and sharing. And you may not realize this, but that in opening up and sharing your encounters with the strange and the supernatural makes it easy for others to do the same. to feel not so alone in this universe, to realize that maybe the experiences that they've been having that were driving them to places of darkness and fear, they are not so alone anymore. So thank you for continuing to share your stories. Hey, I'd love to see you join me out in the real world as I travel this year, seeing all these different great haunted spots. Some I'll be investigating, and I can investigate with you. Some of them are going to be amazing tours, paranormal conferences, and the like, and I would love for you to be there. You can find more information at darknessevents.com. That's darknessevents.com. Don't wait. Run to it. Go check it out now and join me on one of my upcoming adventures, because I would love to see you and spend some time building our own supernatural stories together. And remember, you can get your copy, your copy of the brand new best-selling book I've ever written. It's easy to say best-selling because I wrote it, right? And who's going to question me on this? I've got my brand new book out there, Theater of the Mind, Tales from the Darkness. It's available on Amazon.com, wherever you are in the world. Or if you want a signed copy and you live here in the United States of America, you can get it at Paranormal60.com. That's it for tonight, folks. Thanks for joining me, spending some time here in my realm. And may the darkness of this world be just a little more light with the information that we share here. And thank you for becoming part of our Darkling community and opening your hearts and your minds. And to all of you new listeners around the world that joined us for the live, thank you. You can find us here every Monday and Wednesday. And for those of you listening, you'll always get the new audio delivered right to you every Tuesday and Thursday. With the best in paranormal programming, I'm Dave Schrader, and this is my Paranormal 60.